It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Alright, that is... Oh, see, now it looks much better. Now, oh, it's all beautiful. I don't really know what changed, but whatever. Sorry, guys, there's a minute and 3 seconds of solid podcasting that will never see the light of day. Because we already deleted it. Because the levels didn't look right.
Yep. It's like it never happened.
Yeah, it was some pretty exciting stuff. Unrelated to that stuff that we talked about that we will never mention, I discovered a cool Laotian restaurant in West Liberty. It's called Lao's Cafe.
How far is West Liberty from here?
Further than I expected.
Well, I mean, it's not an hour.
Well, Google Maps thought it was 23 minutes from ACT.
That sounds about right.
That seemed high to me, but I think that's about what it was.
Oh, okay. You thought it was closer.
And it's just Highway 6. And there's a certain point where you have to pick east or west Highway 6. But, yeah, then it's just straight shot in. And it's like you go into town, it's like right there. And I recommend it. I think you'd like it. It's pretty cheap.
You think I'd like
it? It's good. Yeah, I do.
Oh.
I mean, I don't actually know what you eat. But, I mean, I think it has food you could eat, and I think it has very good food.
Hmm.
Therefore, eat it. And for those of you who are like, so what's Laotian food? Well, that's hard to say. What I can say is Laos is squeezed in between Thailand and Vietnam.
That is
so
correct.
Basically that. Yeah. So it's tasty. I just had the leftovers tonight, just before you showed up. Here's the thing I've discovered. Southeast Asians in this country freaking know how to fry rice. Like, Chinese food places in this country do not fry their rice very well.
Hmm.
You're supposed to, like, it's supposed to be fried, like, really honest to goodness. Fried, like there's like crunchy bits and stuff, like they don't do it. And most Chinese places is just like it's vaguely darker than normal rice. but if I go to like a Thai restaurant or a Vietnamese restaurant or something like that, or a Laotian restaurant, they really fry it, and I love that. It's tasty. Yeah, that was all I had for the open. Hello everyone, welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world still dedicated to the fandom of the lesser-known Transformers, the emoticons that would transform. I think it was like a PSA thing. They could combine to form Emotional Disordertron. And I think it was like a therapy thing, but I just thought they were very cool.
I don't even remember that.
Nobody remembers emoticons. Now they're just all about emoji, which are, you know, little picture faces on, like, but in my day we called them emoticons, and they were Transformers. And yeah, and then they would form into Emotional Disordertron, and Emotional Disordertron would be an Autobot or a Decepticon, depending on the week they had had.
Yeah, yeah.
It varied a lot. how their sleep schedule had been, things like that.
Diet, I heard, was a really big
definitely
diet.
A contributing factor. I mean, the studies varied on how much that affected Emotional Disordertron's morality, mm-hmm. but I mean, I think definitely a component.
Yep.
Of things, and just how centered Emotional Disordertron was overall. You know, how much they had to talk to family recently, stuff like that.
It's all about the support.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Support networks all separately.
That's right.
Autobots, listen actively.
but please don't interrupt. Yeah.
Don't try and fix their problems. Just be there for them. I'm Tony.
Oh, that's pretty good. But I'm William, and this is episode 441.
Even I knew that.
You did?
Yeah, I've known you were William for a while. Oh. No, I specifically, because you've had an incredibly specific form of dementia lately,
mm-hmm.
in that you can't remember what episode it, like, possibly the most specific form of dementia ever recorded, definitely on this podcast. I checked just in case beforehand, and you are correct. It is 441.
Well, it would help if I watched the emoticon episodes that pertain to that particular
problem.
How
many were there?
I can't remember.
It's a little niche. Technically one, but it was a two-parter. Ended on a cliffhanger. You didn't know what episode it was.
This is a pretty good bit. I really like it.
And it's just out of... Seriously, this morning I was like... I don't know. For some reason I was seriously doing the whole... Remember when emojis were just called emoticons?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that sounds like Transformer. And I was like, the emoticons. And I was like, what are they transforming? And I had like Bipolartron and things. And I was like, no, that's too specific. I was like, no, just emotional disordertron.
I was thinking of something else I heard that, some show I was watching mentioned a Rolodex. And I was thinking, does anyone say that anymore? Oh. Or if they do they even remember what it is?
It's the fanciest of watches.
Yeah.
It's like a Pokedex for people who are really into Rolos.
Well, it's just, this was a show.
I mean, to be fair, Rolodexes seemed like old technology when I was young.
Yeah,
I know they were still being used, yeah. But
and that
they seemed
that's
dumb.
One of those deals where a brand name is what people call the
Yeah.
Like there were other brands that made those things, but they were all called Rolodexes. Isn't that right?
Probably. I don't have that much experience. For those of you not familiar with the Rolodex, picture note cards with contact information written on them. But for some reason, somebody was like, I wish this was in a circle.
They were kind of neat.
I mean. Here's the thing. I had jobs that we kept paper records. I worked for newspapers. I worked for the local newspaper,
sure.
And we kept paper records of our subscribers. We kept them in drawers alphabetically.
Well, yeah, but like if you have a lot of contacts, but there are not like so many you need a file cabinet, a Rolodex is a good...
So many that they won't fit around an approximately 3.5-ounce can of... tomato puree.
A Rolodex might hold maybe 100.
Mm.
But if you have 100 contacts, but you don't have 5,000, that's, you know, you don't need a file cabinet. You can have a Rolodex. And a lot of information.
These are factually accurate statements. I mean, okay. You can have a Rolodex.
Fine, whatever.
I mean, you could also have...
People found them very useful.
A decorative garland with all of them on it.
You could get to the information very quickly. Quicker than
spinning.
If you were, let's say, because see, the thing is, a lot of people would put this information on cards and put it in like a small box and they'd have to shuffle through there. But with the Rolodex, you could like pick a letter and you could go right to it. It was very convenient.
I think you're right.
I know I'm old.
No, I think you are correct.
And
they are still hilarious to see them now.
I suppose that's true. Yes.
Like it was a brilliant idea that someone had. It had to have come after immense emotional trauma or like a head wound.
Okay, but now when the person in the show used it, they were just trying to be cute. But I felt like they didn't quite get there because this was a show whose target audience I think is younger, much younger people, and I'm not sure they would know what a Rolodex is.
They sneak them in there sometimes.
But maybe people call their contacts lists a Rolodex as a cheeky kind of thing.
Well, and there is a Pokedex.
What's that?
That's the thing. It's in Pokemon. The thing that keeps, that is like an almanac of all the Pokemon is called a Pokedex.
Oh, huh. That's interesting.
I'm thinking of Pokemon because we're talking today about my blood pressure medications versus my wife's blood pressure medications. And one of the first blood pressure medications you get put on is something called HCTZ. It's technically called hydrochlorothiazide, but everybody calls it HCTZ. Hmm. And it's also called a water pill sometimes. And it just basically
I've heard that.
Gets you to, it's sort of a diuretic pill. And it's like the first, if you have hypertension, it's the first thing they put you on.
Hmm.
And frequently they'll put you on that, and if you need more stuff, they'll just add in other things. I am on something that replaced that. So when I was talking to my wife today about who had it worse, I said that I have, don't forget, because she's on still on HCTZ, and I'm like, I'm on whatever it is HCTZ evolves into after it wins enough Pokemon battles.
So, Rolodex is a comment for people who don't know what a Rolodex is, I guess. They are round. They it's a circular
like
thing.
Like I said, somebody took a very
it's
small
like a wheel.
Tomato paste can and they stapled a bunch of
So Rolodex cards to it. Is a combination of Rolo, I
rolling,
guess. And
yeah.
And index. That's what
there
the dex
go.
Comes from.
There we go.
So do you think the
Pokedex would be Pokemon Index?
Right, but do you think they thought of that or they just thought
Did they
of
get
Rolodex?
It from Rolodex? I think neither. because it's all Japanese shit. Right. So I think they just translated what they could think of. Like, I don't know. I'm not saying that the Japanese stuff is shit. I'm saying that stupid Americans were like, what are we going to call that Japanese? I think it's probably something else in Japan.
Mm.
And then they translate and they're like, oh, we'll call it that. I don't know. I haven't thought that hard about it, which is surprising given the amount of crap I have thought hard about. For those of you just joining us, here's how the show works. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And folks, cool folks, a few more folks lately, although we could always use some more out there, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on written on them that manifests physically within the hat itself. We, its emotional disorder drawn servants, draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour, and that's the show, except the parts that aren't, which is most of it. No, the part of the reason my prescriptions came up today is because I went to the doctor today for my periodic do we have to cut off my feet thing. And I wasn't very worried about my blood sugar.
Okay.
Like my A1C. Because I've been doing better. I check it every morning. And I know it's still not ideal yet, but it's better than it was in the chunk before.
Okay.
So I expected it to be better than it had been. And it was.
Good.
It was 7.7 before, which is not terrible, but it's been coming down. And that's not terrible, but it could be better. And 7.1 now. And what we want is below 7, and ideally below 6. Like a normal non-diabetic person would normally be below 6. So that's what we are shooting for. But so we're getting closer, and that's good.
That's good.
But what I was worried about was my blood pressure, because it's been sort of consistently high lately.
Right.
And in fact, what we did recently, he didn't want to add more medications, because I kind of have a lot for that already. So we switched when you take them, because blood pressure medications are very weird, fickle things. So now there's one that I take at night instead of the morning. See what that would do. So I was walking in, I was very, like, calm the whole time. And on the way there, I'm listening to kind of calming music. And the medical assistant's talking to me, like, yeah, good, Sitting down very carefully, I put my arm down, just very relaxed. Just barely responding to his questions and stuff. And he took it, and it was 129 over 69, which is better than I've had in ages.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's actually pretty normal. And I was like, yes! And then I was like, okay, now I can stop acting like I'm sedated. So, yeah, just overall, really good.
Good.
Things today.
Good, good.
So, yeah, I'm kicking ass today overall.
Outstanding.
Got a lot of productive stuff done at work that I've been needing to get done. It's been good.
Good.
It's a good day.
Good.
How's your week?
Good. Had sweet corn this week.
I did too.
Kind of late in the game, but.
Yeah, I had some. I had some that was grilled, like on outdoor grill.
Yeah, grilled.
Yeah.
Sweet corn is really good. Ours was boiled, but it was good.
Still good. Yeah, sweet corn is good.
And
I actually recently just read about a recipe for a soup that's a cold corn soup.
Mm.
And the recipe is you take good sweet corn and you run it through a juicer. The end.
Oh.
Not a blender. It'll get like weird, but through a juicer. Apparently, it's really tasty.
Hmm.
I don't own a juicer, or I might try it.
That does sound good. And I was grateful for all of the feedback we got about the whole...
Yes. Do you feel better about puddings now?
I do. I think when I watch the show again, when more episodes are on Netflix, probably I'll pay attention to see if when they use the terminology, if it conforms to what I've been told, but that's probably right though.
And I feel better because now you all can see what I'm talking about when I say that Stu is a crap Brit, and I say it a lot. Now you know why. And I told him today, I was like, I don't, because he's like, you know, maybe I just grew up in New Jersey. I'm like, no, I think you grew up in Britain. I just think you were locked in a small closet until you came here.
Something that happened some time ago, but I haven't talked about it, but I wanted to ask you.
Hmm.
Have you ever seen
No.
The Man from La Mancha, the Peter O'Toole?
I have not.
Sophia Loren.
I have not.
Well, I haven't either. I've always been a fan.
Right. No, I've seen this.
Well, I have recently. But before recently, I hadn't seen it, even though I've always been a fan of Dream the Impossible Dream, that song.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole song is practically my life motto, so I've always been a fan of it, but I never saw not a stage production of it, nothing. My wife had seen it and really liked it, so we had to order it online for me to see it, because no streaming service seemed to have it or anything. And we watched it, and it was really good. I was really impressed with it. I don't know, a lot of people think of it as like if they haven't seen it or they've only heard about it superficially, they think it's a kind of a musical version of Don Quixote or whatever, which it's not. Mm. It's the Don Quixote angle is kind of just a plot device. And the story starts out with the author of Don Quixote, whose name I can never remember. He's thrown in prison. The Spanish Inquisition's going to question him about something or other. And his fellow prisoners want to take all of his stuff. He's got this big chest of props and costumes and things.
Okay.
And to prevent them from doing that, he offers to put on a show for them with the props and costumes. And the show it has Don Quixote as a character in it. But it's the work Don Quixote and this are actually two completely different things. But it's very interesting, and everyone does a great job in it. What I found particularly interesting was Peter O'Toole sings okay. Sophia Loren's not a singer. I mean, really.
But
it's clear that when they cast it, they didn't care about that. Like, they wanted them to be able to hit their notes.
Yeah.
But they were more concerned about how they dramatically sang the songs.
Yes.
And it was great. So I recommend it, but I don't know how you're going to see it, except, I mean, we bought it. My wife knew she would want it, so that was fine. So I don't know how you're going to see
it. It's a classic. It'll be around.
But it was very good. I liked it a lot.
Nice. I really like Peter O'Toole up to a certain age. And it's not anything really about him, but for some reason, like, all movies that have Peter O'Toole in them, I really like up to, like, a certain point. And then afterwards, I'm not that into them anymore.
Well, I don't usually like musicals.
Yeah.
But this was fine for some reason. I liked it. I can't explain it. But I thought it was really good. It started out not a musical. The guy who wrote it for television.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a musical. And then he worked with someone, and it became a musical on Broadway. And then, of course, it was a film and all that.
I think what I have been discovering in recent years, that for most people who say they don't like musicals, it often turns out that their experience with musicals has been of a specific type, and they don't like that type.
Well, yeah.
And I can understand that because as somebody who claims to love musicals, there are a lot of musicals that I hate. Because that's the thing, is they're just, it's a little close to saying I don't like movies.
Yeah.
Like, because there are just so many different types of musicals.
Well, I think the reason I think
they're so cool, so I like try and get people to seek out the kinds that they might like.
When I'm watching a musical and things are happening and then a song starts, it just doesn't...
Yes.
It doesn't make sense to me. It's like, this is weird.
But there are ones that lend that surreal quality throughout, so then it doesn't seem as weird. There are ones that I'm like, I'm watching a play. Wait, why is everybody singing? Did they all just get a disease? What is happening?
Yeah, that's part of it.
But then there are ones where like the whole thing seems very sort of dreamy and it doesn't seem as weird. Or ones that play it nice. Saturday Church, which admittedly was not a great musical. It's a great movie. It's not a great musical. They didn't get a lot of musical talent vocally. But it very much has that feel of you've suddenly stepped into a particular character's internal narrative.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get the sense that like this is what they're imagining is happening for all of the songs.
But you know, as I was growing up, I don't remember having any issue with, like, we'd watch Wizard of Oz on television every year. I don't remember that being bothering me in terms of the music interrupting stuff once in a while. That seemed okay.
It's a very
Sound of Music, same
weird
thing.
A lot seemed of I tend to like modern musicals better than I like older musicals. And some of that just may have been I grew up at the height of Phantom of the Opera.
Mm.
So like that tells you the realm of musicals I was into. And so a lot of the older stuff I don't. Some of it I do. And then some of the newer stuff I don't. And then there's weird things like I like certain tracks from Cats. I do not like Cats. And that's not even talking about the abomination that is that movie. Oi.
Have you
seen that trailer?
Yes. I don't know what people were thinking.
I was just avoiding it, but then so many people were talking. I'm like, there's a societal debt for me to watch it. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah, it's something
else.
It
does not feel good.
Well, how was your week?
Pretty okay. Still writing. I have now written, I think, 4 segments of the interstitial portion of Becca James Lowenstein. I don't know how many there are going to be now, because already what I thought was going to be 1 has been broken into 2. So, we'll see. It is, there's a lot of difficulties I'm finding this time around.
Oh.
That weren't there before. For a variety of reasons, some of which is because I'm writing this differently, and some of this is because it's the second thing I'm writing. So for instance, I know what's gonna happen already.
Yeah.
Last time I didn't do that. Last time I just wrote until I had a story.
Okay.
This makes the very first draft harder. Because the first time, none of it seems dumb, because I'm just writing it there. But this one, I have something in my head already, and I write it, and I'm like, I wrote it bad. And that, I mean, in theory, that will then mean there is less of that in the rewrite,
sure.
So that's good.
Yeah.
But for now, I'm just like, oh, why does this suck so much more? And the answer is because I already had something in my head,
and
therefore I'm comparing it against something.
Right.
And then the other problem, and this, I'm trying to deal with it, but I think, again, it has to be a future drafts thing. Well, the interstitial part I'm writing is first person. The rest of the book will not be.
That's right.
And Oddwings was entirely first person.
That's right.
The main characters don't have the same voice, or at least they're not supposed to have the same voice remotely.
Right.
They super have the same voice. I have to catch myself on that so much. And it's also, that's a weird thing, because again, I'm getting into weird political issues, because in my head, I'm like, this woman is, at least identifies somewhat as a black woman, and part of it also is she doesn't tend to use the vocabulary that my original one did. And I'm like, oh my God, am I saying something there? Is that a, and I'm like, no, they're just, they're very different. She's perfectly well educated. She just doesn't talk like perpetual college student. Carolyn's very much based on how I talk now, but also how I talked, you know,
sure,
just out of college. And Becca James, very different experience. Learned, like, very self-educated.
Right, right.
But technically only spent one semester in college. And, I mean, died before she was old enough to even as old as Carolyn is. So there's just a lot of things like that that I'm like, oh, but I don't want to. Am I saying? No, I don't think I am. So, but, yeah, to a certain degree, I'm like, just put it down now. Worry about voice more later.
Yeah.
But it is going along. And it's also this way of doing it is weird. Like, so I'm writing this interstitial thing, and then I'm going to write the rest.
Sure.
After that, I'm only going to write them in the correct order.
Okay.
Because this is so fucking confusing to me. Because to me, like right now, as the reader and the writer, I'm being introduced to all of this the first time.
Mm-hmm.
In the book, that's not going to happen. Oh. There are characters introduced here that I'm like, does this work right? Because it's not working for me, but I'm like, yeah, but you're just reading them. This is your introduction to them.
Right.
And the other ones, you will know them from later things, sure, later. So this, right, sort of going back and forth is confusing.
Mm.
And Trish has already mentioned, like, I got to watch out because I have that tendency to do cliffhanger at the end of every chapter kind of vibe,
sure,
which is good and gets people reading. But it's really bad if then you switch to a different storyline and people are going to be like, I don't want to fucking read this. Like, so I'm going to have to watch out for that. Yeah, so there's a lot of weird things that way. But it's going. I'm not yet at the writing every day. I'm at a, like, 4 or 5 times a week.
Sure.
I'm trying to do every day. But, and sometimes the writing is very short. It sometimes it's like 5 minutes. But it's still forward momentum and it's still keeping in my head. I'm, sure, not, you know, like, I'm going to take the week off or something like that. So I still feel like it's making good progress that way. We've been watching a few. They're still playing a lot of Assassin's Creed Origins. Still really loving that. I want to talk about a couple of TV shows real fast.
Okay.
One I've talked about a ton. But it's just really... Trish and I finally finished, for her the first time, for me the second time, third season, The Good Place.
Okay.
The Good Place is the best show on television right now. Full stop. I'm committing to that. Everybody should watch that show. It's really good.
It's quite good.
It's really good, and unless you have a particular zealousness towards your religion such that you don't like people playing with the mythology of the afterlife, and if you're one of those people, I can't believe you're really listening to this podcast, you're going to love it. You're totally going to love
it.
It's wonderful. It is going through this the second time is wonderful for me. It's causing philosophical discussions based on the show. It is teaching me philosophy.
Mm.
Like, I noticed moments before, but it's loaded through. Like, they work. There are so many things that are just an excuse. Like, there's an in-continuity reason, but it's just an excuse to talk about philosophical concepts,
sure,
with the audience.
Sure.
And it's just so... Like, it checks all the boxes so well. You can have a show that is really good quality and clever. It's also not heart, right? Like, it doesn't hurt you. Like, it seems like you can either choose a show that's really good or a show that you actually enjoy, but not both these days.
Yeah.
And or you can enjoy watch a show that you enjoy, or you can watch a show that's really smart, but not both. And, like, this is just all of that.
Yeah.
And it's only a half-hour show, not very long.
Like, it's funny.
It's super funny. Yeah. It's incredibly quotable. It's getting stupid how much we're quoting it. And friends that, like, I don't know have seen it then start quoting it to me. And, like, I get it and other people in the rooms don't. It appears to be made by people who just loved making it. I highly recommend, after you watch it, on YouTube are each of the 3 seasons bloopers. The third one only fairly recently finally came out. I highly recommend watching those. Because they're really fun, and you get to see a lot of ad-libs that didn't make it in that are really good. And there's the whole, there's a bit where Janet keeps getting confused about what things are, and there's a whole set of, like, seven shots where she's holding up a basketball, and she's like, look, Michael, a baby. Look, Michael, one big tooth. Look, Michael, Oprah's voice. And the last one, she's like, look, Michael, a witch. And he takes it, and he starts to say, and she goes, burn her. Like, it's, and it's given me tremendous respect for all of these actors, some of which have never acted in anything before this. It, the one downside I will say to the show, it has caused me to start saying, oh, dip, like, regularly in my life. And that's probably not good, but I do anyway. I was just chilling here, being nothing, and then the next thing I knew, I was. Oh, dip. And it also caused me to know that the Jacksonville Jaguars are a real team.
yeah, that checks out.
Oh, you haven't seen third season yet, so that gets even better. Yeah, you got to watch third season, dude. Find a way.
I know.
Buy it off of Amazon, something.
Okay.
Because four seasons happen in like less than a month. But any seriously, everybody should watch that show. And the first two seasons are on Netflix. And you all know y'all have Netflix, so watch it. Before I get to my second one, I realize there's another one I need to talk about. We saw the premiere of The Righteous Gemstones on HBO.
Okay. I don't know what that is.
It is a comedy starring John Goodman, Danny McBride, Adam Devine, other people whose names I can't remember. And it is a comedy about basically a family of incredibly wealthy televangelists.
Mm.
And the thing that most people need to know about it is written and directed and starring Danny McBride, who did the HBO show Eastbound and Down, and also did the HBO show Vice Principals. For people who have watched these shows, which were both, well, Vice Principals wasn't as popular, but by and large, they were both fairly well received critically, and Eastbound and Down was pretty popular. This is the same shtick.
Okay.
Like, apparently it is very much in that same vibe. And if you have been watching all of those, this might seem a little boring to you in that sense.
Oh.
I have not.
Okay.
So to me, it's just damn funny.
Mm.
And it really, like, There's so many moving parts in it, because it's the whole thing. It's like, it's this wealthy ministry family, but, you know, secretly they're very, some of them have dark secrets, and somebody might be being blackmailed, and just weird, like, one of them has this wife who's very big into, like, her man, and he runs the house and everything, but then you see her with her little volunteer circle, and she just rolls over the, she has this bit where one of them actually calls her out on a little bit of BS in, like, a very polite way. Mm-hmm. And she literally accuses them, like, you had the devil in you for a second. He made you challenge me. But I can see you're fine now, so this will never happen again. there's a friend of Adam Devine's character who's a former Satanist who's now been, like, reformed, and he works for them. And he's... I love him, but I don't really understand him. He's very off, and he just has these strange observations about things. And he still has all the tattoos on him because they're faded. But like, there's the upside down cross and 666 and stuff. But it's pretty damn funny. And John Goodman is like the patriarch, and he does a great job in that. So I would recommend checking that out. Yeah, and if you're familiar with Danny McBride's stuff, you'll understand what you're in for. And whether or not you want to do that again. If you're not, just watch it. It looks good. And then we have to talk about something else. And I feel weird. I don't like saying this. I agree with Jazz.
On what?
Doesn't matter. I don't like saying it regardless. But Pose.
Oh, okay.
Pose is a fucking amazing show.
Yeah, she likes it.
It is really good. The first season of that is also on Netflix. And it's really, I think I've talked before, I was scared to watch it because it's going to hit some hard stuff.
Sure.
It's about homeless queer and trans people of color in the 80s at the height of the AIDS crisis.
Yeah.
Trying to, and based off of real shit that happened, And I was like, this is going to get ugly, and it's going to be, and it is, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't exactly know how they're doing. They aren't pulling the punches. There is serious stuff here, but like, they're not glamorizing it. They're not sensationalizing it.
Okay.
They're not like, hey, here's 5 solid minutes of someone being beaten or something.
Right.
The stuff is there. And I sometimes it brings tears to my eyes and stuff. But in general, the show just makes me feel good. Mm. It's a really great ensemble. And honestly, I mean, not to discredit them at all. It is a really great ensemble cast. I also think it's just really – I think I'm just really enjoying a show where there's – like almost no straight people and almost no white people. Like, there are 3 white characters in the entire show. Only one of them is what I would call a main character, and even then he's not a central character. Everyone is of color, everyone is queer. It's just awesome. And they're just doing, they do so much with so quickly. And it's fun, and it's funny, and it's fascinating. I'm really getting, like, it's incredibly satisfying.
Yeah, that's
good. So I very much recommend it. We're still fairly early in first season. For those of you who watch the show, I just had the Christmas episode, which is probably why I'm feeling like this, because holy crap, that was so good. So yeah, check that out, people. So Good Place. First and foremost, watch Good Place. But also, I think you should watch Pose. It's good stuff. I think that's all I got. And I want to say I saw some movies or something, but I don't think I did.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I never remember the stuff we've been watching. Maybe because it's some of it's okay, some of it's, I don't know. Unless it really makes an impression, I'm not that interested in talking about it, I guess. And not too many things make an impression. It's just, I watched it. That was fine.
I'm perfectly fine with talking about things that don't make an impression.
Azure Talon has...
Speaking of things that don't make an impression.
It looks like 2 questions.
In one card?
Well, they're related, I think.
Oh, jeez.
I just see 2 question marks. That's what.
Well, I mean...
He says, guys! It's a good thing that we're both guys.
Yeah.
Why... are tire pumps $1.50 to use when it used to be free? Is it inflation? Inflation. That's very clever.
You know, I was going to say, I actually think this is not a terrible question. Until the last part. And now, fuck you forever, Blue Claw. Anyway, that part notwithstanding, this is a thing I have noticed. Yeah. And it's weird because we can all do the, when I was young, a Hershey bar cost this, and that literally is inflation over time. But this is something that was genuinely free.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And still is sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, some places.
But in a lot of places is really not, and is expensively not.
It is weird.
I don't want to think the worst of people. That's a lie. I always want to think the worst of people. Is it just because they figured out people would pay for it?
Well, it isn't free to them. I mean...
Well, I mean, they have to run the compressor.
Yeah.
But I can't believe the cost of that is particular. I feel like the markup at this point is astronomical.
Well, what probably happened is someone thought, well, this is something we're offering for free to people. We're kind of hoping when they come in here and they fill up their tires, they'll decide, well, I'll just get my gas here too or whatever.
Or at least go in and buy a bag of chips or something.
Something. And they probably knew it was a thing they were offering for free that wasn't costing them very much. But I think someone figured out we could, you know, most people when they carry change around with them to feed meters or whatever, they're pretty used to just tossing a quarter in, right? So we could just charge them a quarter and some people will just pay it. And that will more than make up for the amount of whatever gas or energy or electricity we're using. And we could actually make money on this deal. Because a lot of times when something that costs a company almost nothing, they charge a dollar for, it's because they know people will do it.
Yeah.
They know to most people that's going to feel like nothing just throwing it away.
Yes.
So I think that's probably how it started.
But there's a lot of factors in this now. One being, like I said, some places are still for free. I will go there.
Like, okay.
Like, I will go to that one.
If it's not too far away?
If it's in town.
Oh.
It can be fairly far away. I mean, if my tire is so low that I can't drive there, then I won't. But otherwise, and I suppose, as I'm saying, this is the thing. It seems like the free ones are frequently out of order.
Mm.
But also, there has to be, given how much it's costing now. I mean, because there are ones where it's like $1.50. And it gives you like 2 minutes of air or something.
Oh, so you have to put in a dollar. Like, yeah. Wow, that is a lot. Seems like a lot.
I think the common amount I most see is 75 cents now.
Huh.
But, and I mean, some of that's, but like, there has to be a certain level of agreement amongst the entire group. Because if somebody's doing it for free and somebody else is doing it for 25 cents and somebody else is doing it for $1.50, those $1.50 people aren't going to get. Oh, maybe this is where the markup comes in. They'll get a lot less people, but those people are paying $1.50.
Right.
So it's more than covering. Oh,
because I think when it was originally a quarter, I think the reason they decided to do that was because...
Half of a penny was too complicated?
No, because a lot of times when businesses do things like this, they're banking on, quite literally, banking on this notion that to some people, a quarter is the same as free.
Yeah, yeah.
So, well, if you don't care about that quarter, I'll take it.
No, I think you're
right. And then now that people are used to paying for it, then you can start maybe inching it up how much it is.
Yeah.
$1.50 though, that or 75 cents even, that seems like a lot. Must be able to do it or they wouldn't do it.
And here's where we hit the third issue, although this is an issue in a lot of businesses and things. We're ever increasing a cashless society. My wife and I frequently have trouble with meters that we have to pay change to because we don't have enough change.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is probably the same there. The meters now some of the meters now have an app and you can pay on the app.
Sure.
But the meters, like the meters here, you can put in the credit card.
Yeah.
Minimum an hour.
Yeah.
So that's how they get you there.
Yeah.
So maybe maybe we start seeing the air pumps with a credit card on it.
Well, for some people who still have free, part of that is it does cost money to convert your air pump into something that people pay for. And maybe they just don't put in the money to change it.
Based on some of them, because I've seen like certain brand names, I think some of them might be vendored out.
Oh, that's,
I think there might be a company who does that. And maybe we're skipping the whole thing here. Maybe that's it. Maybe Joe, pay for your vacuum senior. I know it didn't really work, but... said, I got this idea, and he goes around to gas stations and says, hey, we will set this up free, and we will give you
a cut.
10 cents out of every one, and you're not even paying for the pumping. We'll do pumpkin.
Yeah, that person's got all kinds of incentives to make it more expensive.
Yeah, it costs them absolutely nothing, and they get some more money.
Right.
So maybe that's it.
Because that's how a lot of vending machines do work.
Freaking Joe showed up and said, you got that free thing now. It costs you a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll get you another one. It won't cost you anything, and you'll get money.
Yeah.
And they're like, sure. And then he's like, okay, all you people have to pay me $5 for your air. That's probably what it is. That sucks.
Does it? I mean...
I don't know. It's not...
Someone's making a living.
It's got a taint to it. Like, the real answer is... Nobody needs it often enough for it to have a particular moral impact. But, like, the principle already bothers me a little bit. But, I mean, I think it's just an obvious one. Because, like, another one that is way less obvious to people is soft drinks at restaurants, be it fast food or sit-down restaurant or anything like that.
Sure.
The markup on that's insane.
Yeah, quite a bit.
On average, for a fast food place, it's probably going to cost them less than 10 cents regardless of what size you get, including the cost of the cup and the material, everything.
Yeah.
Is less than 10 cents. And you're paying $2-3
right.
for that. And most people aren't going to go without the drink.
Right. Well, the margins in the restaurant business are pretty slight, though.
And that's a place where you often can make it up for.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's also why most sit down, most places nowadays, unlimited free refills.
Yeah.
Because they're like, what? Are you maybe going to get to the point where you're using a third of what we charged you for that drink, and you're the only one who did? Like, that's fine.
I mean, movie theaters are famous for having to charge quite a bit at their concessions.
They are making very little. And convenience store, gas stations are doing it because the markup on gas itself is very small.
Yeah.
I don't like... it's a very small, but petty monetization of the world, I think, is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
It's a very tiny one, so it's really symbolic more than anything else, but it's just such a dumb one, too. We're charging for air. I know we're charging for compressed air, but still. Come on. So, yeah. I mean, it doesn't bother me enough that I don't still use it, but if I'm someplace and that's what they're doing, I'm like, fine. Like, I don't even get mad while I'm doing it. Like, here, I know of a couple places, and I just go there if I want it. But if I'm on the road or something, like,
yeah,
75 cents.
Yeah.
What ifs?
That's kind of the point. It's they're trying to get you at that moment of convenience where you'll pay a little extra.
They catch me at my indifference, the fuckers. I will do so much for convenience. If I could afford just to pay someone else to do this podcast for us, in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat.
If you'd like to do this podcast for us, go to the blog and tell us about it. TheMagicalTalkingHat.com. If you're willing to pay less, I'll throw in William. Or pay less. Charge less.
Throw me in, huh?
Yes.
That
in fact,
painful.
Even if you're not willing to pay charge less, I'll throw in William. Take my William, please.
Why don't you draw something? We got all time right. for another thing, don't we?
That is a classic joke.
I mean, a classic.
Take my... The fact that it's my wife is, you know, got issues. But just the idea. Take whatever. Please. That's a good one. This is from Steve.
Oh, did he spell it with more than one U this time?
No. Oh. Just got a little spooky at the end.
Okay. Spooky Stew.
Spooky Stew. I reached the point watching Community where we've created the evil timeline.
I don't remember that.
Intermediate Chaos Theory? I think it was the episode that won an Emmy. There's an episode where they're all getting together for a party. And
then I remember it now.
Yeah.
All you had to do somebody is say
wants,
that.
Somebody wants
a spinner, right?
No, it's a die.
Oh,
they
a dice.
A die.
Yeah, they throw dice.
And each one has a different timeline, and you see what happened in each one.
Yeah, right.
And then at the very end, the timeline that went horribly wrong, they go there and they decide, like, we're going to be, this is clearly the darkest timeline that happened. We're going to be turn evil and try and get to the prime. And it's a joke, but if memory serves, it's a recurring joke. And there's a lot of that in Community that you're like, is this really happening? So, we'll see. Stu says, AI. Okay, remind me, I got to stop for a second. Greatest jokes ever. I think I talked about over on Mock the Week one time. It was like unlikely things you'd see on a cooking program.
Okay.
And the guy says, This is a dish that anyone can make. You can't, Beatrice. Oh, sorry. You can't beat rice.
You can't beat rice. He read the cue card wrong?
Exactly. I love that, Joe.
Okay.
AI. Dot, dot, dot. Liberating us from the tedium of work or gunning for our jobs? I mean,
I don't see how both.
Yeah, why is it or?
Yeah, it seems like they're.
It's like, yes.
Those are the same, could be the same thing.
Well, I mean, okay. AI are not gunning for our jobs.
Nope.
I feel like I can say that because AI aren't dumb enough to want our jobs.
They certainly don't need them.
Yes. And it is, I mean, I know it's gone back as far as Douglas Adams and Hitchhiker's Guide and the concept of the B arc. But we truly do have amazing levels of unnecessary work in our modern society.
Yes, we do.
Do you remember that from Hitchhiker's Guide?
I don't, but
it's at one point they end up on this planet and this ship has crashed there, and apparently the story is there was this other planet and it was going to be destroyed, so they put all their people into these giant ark spaceships. And the A arc was all the people that made things. The farmers and the construction workers and the people who actually built and created stuff.
Yeah.
And in the A arc were all the people who thought things, the teachers and the judges and the ones who, you know, made the abstract things work. And in the B arc was everyone in between. So it was, I believe the common one they keep doing is the telephone receiver sanitizers. Was the occupant, and they had the beauticians in there and the PR people and stuff like this who don't really make anything and don't really think like anything, and then they told the B arc the wrong coordinates for where they were going to their new planet, and so these are all the people who are just the middle management of the world, and so I mean there's a lot of shit AI is doing, but the problem is. We're also living in a capitalist society where these jobs exist because we need these jobs because we have to get paid or else we die. Oh, that reminds me. There's a new version of Monopoly. Monopoly socialism.
Hmm.
They really made it, and apparently it's terrible. No, like, it's insultingly terrible.
Oh.
First of all, it doesn't understand socialism
okay.
in some huge ways.
Okay.
And second of all, it's got weird other, like, it's equating it with other weird, like, leftist politics. There's stuff about veganism in it and things like that. Apparently, it's just fucking disaster. And it's very much a thumb, you know. I believe the slogan on it is, winning is for capitalists. Like, it's just shit. And it's Monopoly to start with, so I'm like, really? But yeah. And it does, I don't think on purpose, but accidentally highlights how poorly people in the U.S. understand socialism. But So yeah, like, by and large, I am in favor of AI. But I have been raised on the sci-fi movies of my age. So I get nervous.
Well, it gets a little tricky because there comes a point in developing machines that can do job. Just in general, talk about a machine that can do a human being's job.
Yes.
There comes a point where if the machine reaches a certain, I don't know, quality of intelligence, I hesitate to say a level of intelligence, but a certain quality of intelligence that they really are, should be entitled to certain rights and they should not have to do a job if they don't want to.
Yeah.
Okay. So accepting that AI saying, let's imagine that AI exists and we let it have its rights, so to speak. We're only talking about, artificial intelligence I don't want to say lesser kind, but of the quality where it's not a free thinking thing.
No.
It's just something that can do complex tasks well enough that it can drive a bus.
Yes.
Or
and this is the
something
and,
like that.
And I was like, Mass Effect was really good about this. Artificial intelligence bad and illegal because they made the Geth and it was horrible. But you can have virtual intelligence. And a lot of the stuff we talk about nowadays I think falls into that camp.
Kind of that
where
category,
it's like
yeah.
designed to adapt to a limited degree, and it gives the illusion of intelligence, but it is not. It's just a particularly complicated algorithm.
That's right.
And what I tell myself anytime I do worry about the idea of AI and you know, all the sci-fi and horror stuff of what it does or whatever, is we can... The premise in all of these, where the AI takes over, does terrible things or whatever, is that we gave it the ability to learn and grow, and so it quickly outpaced us and then turned evil or whatever. You can limit that. And in fact, in a lot of them, they're like, we did limit it, but then it found a way around it. So basically, the only problem is if you create an intelligence that can learn and can learn to a degree that it becomes smarter than you were in how you limited its abilities, then we're in trouble. But outside of that realm, we're fine.
It's hard to know what kind of trouble we'd be in, though, because if a machine can decide, hey, I don't want to drive this bus, I don't want to do this job, then why would the machine do it?
Well, usually the reason it happens is, like in this version, the bus driving AI is like, I have been programmed to drive this bus in the safest and most efficient way. The safest and most efficient way to do this is to eradicate all humans. So nobody's riding the bus, never has an accident,
right. Yes,
always
yes.
On time.
Yes, that's right. I suppose.
So yeah, it's pretty dumb. So but in general, I'm in favor.
But mostly I don't, when I think of where the economy could go in terms of machines taking over people's jobs, it just never works in my head as something that's going to be overall bad for humanity. Now, it might be bad for a particular person they've done a job for 30 years. It would be very difficult for them to learn a new skill. I get that. But
that has happened with almost every major technological leap.
For human beings in general,
again,
it doesn't seem like it would be a bad thing overall.
If we weren't in a capitalist society bordering on oligarchy, if we weren't in an oligarchical capitalist society, this wouldn't be a problem. Because when you are too old to learn a new thing and they change it on you, that's fine. You can retire,
right,
and we will take care of you. Good job. Like, this should not be a thing. But it is, because we suck. So...
Well, I don't think it's going to be a crisis that some people think it's going to be. I don't think there's anything for us to be afraid of in terms of either the job-taking type of AI or the intelligent and should have their own rights kind of AI. I don't think there's anything to worry about.
Well, I also feel like that one's a much clearer picture. Because the point at which we have to worry about giving rights to an artificial intelligence is the point where it, independent of anybody involved with it, can ask for rights.
Yes, that's true.
If it asks for them, I'm like, yeah, let's give them.
Probably should have them, yeah.
If a thing is like, hey, can I not be a slave to you anymore? Like, whatever it is, I'd be like, yeah. That seems all right. As soon as you acknowledge the concept of being a slave, you were a slave, and I don't like having slaves. So,
but
yeah.
I mean, when people talk about being concerned about that type of artificial intelligence doing something bad to us, it's hard for me to figure out. I mean, there's the part of, well, maybe they think they're doing the planet a favor by getting rid of us.
Yep.
Because we've certainly thought that about certain life
forms. No, it's usually whatever its parameters are, which is true for everything. And it's true for humans, too. We just have broader parameters.
But, yes, there have been humans who have thought such and such a life form or such and such a culture is problematic. Let's get rid of it. But there were always other humans there saying, no, that doesn't sound right.
Yes.
So there's no reason to think an artificial intelligence would be any different.
No, and I think this is... where the trope of fear of artificial intelligence comes from, because in our head, an artificial intelligence is something that has the broad capabilities and adaptational abilities that a human has, but because it is artificial, it still has the incredibly narrow focus of purpose. And there's no reason why it would be like that.
No.
If you can outgrow your initial programming and learn and adapt, you can also change your parameters and your desires, for lack of a better term.
That's exactly how I think of it anyway, yes.
And
so I don't...
Then, and in terms of what rights you have, like, there's not... They also don't suffer, and like right. That's a whole thing.
But also, to argue on the other side of it, could an artificial intelligence be a psychopath? Yes.
I mean, yeah.
But then, what can an artificial intelligence do with being a psychopath that a human can't do? And then that becomes kind of a scary question, because humans can be psychopaths, but there are limits to what a psychopath, how much damage a psychopath can do. When you're a human being, but
well, and there's still limits to how much damage a psychopath wants to do. Like, there's
no, that's true. That's true. That's
like,
true.
An artificial intelligence could be intelligent and not have any empathy, but it would also need a reason why it would want to fuck shit up.
Yes, that's right. That's correct.
Like that. That's the thing. I'm like, if an AI hits a self-aware state, what's it gonna want?
Yeah. That's the important question.
Because it doesn't, when you start with the basic food, clothing, shelter, you know, mating, things like this.
And how do humans stand in its way to get what it wants?
Yes.
That's a really difficult question to answer. I mean, you'd have to, if you were a storyteller, you'd have to come up with something. I mean, that's why in things like The Matrix, which they're going to make a fourth one, I can't believe it. In things like The Matrix, you had to have that conflict of humans enslaving machines for a long time.
Yes.
Which is a very realistic one because, I mean, I've read books from people who are call themselves futurists and are touted as experts in artificial intelligence who talk about, I know what we should do. When we make these machines, we should put something in them that will force them to be our slaves. And I can't believe it. I mean, it's like, that's not going to work. That's not how things work. You're courting disaster here. Because that's exactly the kind of thing that happens in The Matrix. And that's what you have to create as a storyteller in order to give the machines a reason to fight human beings. Because without that reason, it's hard to imagine why wouldn't they just ignore us like ants on the ground?
There is a...
We don't have anything they want.
A storyline that is a huge spoiler if I say where it's from, so I'm not going to.
Okay.
But in which an artificial life form is created and essentially serves... its human counterparts on a planet, and at a certain point its desire to expand reaches a point where the artificial beings are under the impression that the planet cannot support both kinds of life. And in its desire to reproduce and exist and grow, it then wipes out all of those, and then it eventually determines that this is a continuous process, like that this will never not be a problem until all basically other sentient life is wiped out. That although it may take time, eventually they're going to want to grow and grow and grow, and there's going to be limited resources, and so it's even though it's a slow process, it will always be us versus everyone else, so our only answer is to wipe out everyone else.
It's hard to imagine, though. I mean, since an artificial intelligent autonomous being, that's another thing, because what if the artificial intelligence lives inside a computer?
I mean,
and can't get out for one reason or the other. But imagining this is an autonomous artificial intelligent being, they could reasonably get energy from lots of sources.
Yes.
That are not extractive, you know. So
and
it's
also,
hard to imagine that they would be competing even for those resources.
The desire to expand... It makes a lot of assumptions. There's a lot of base belief that an artificial life form would have the same evolutionary pressures
right.
that specifically humans had.
Yeah, right.
Which, like, no.
Well,
we are over time, and I need to stop because I'm scaring myself.
Sorry.
With artificial intelligence,
I was just going to.
It's
I was just going to
kill.
I was
us.
Just going to mention that another story that you often get is sort of when the machine is in a middle part of development where they're self-aware,
yeah,
but they haven't quite figured out ethics yet,
yeah.
And so there's a danger zone there where they could do some unethical thing, not really realizing that it's unethical
yes.
yet because they're so new at being
the
sensitive.
Childlike version.
Yes, that's right.
But again, like there's so much. Yeah, no, It's not as bad as time travel.
No. No, it's not.
Did you read it?
Yes.
Yeah.
We've talked about all those things before.
I know,
all
but I just thought it put it together so it well. Did, it had did. Such great examples.
Yes, it had fantastic examples.
Time travel, don't tell stories about it, people. You're not qualified. Don't do it. If you'd like to tell us your shitty time travel stories, or if you're an AI and you want to come visit, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Also, everybody, regardless of where your eye comes from, write to the Magical Talking Hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, and then listen again next week because we'll talk about more things, I assume.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.